If elected, I will be a tough leader who will take on the old boys club and make Chicago a safe city where all of our students can grow up and fulfill their potential. I ask you to join the movement so we can tackle Chicago's challenges together. Thank you.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Rick Pearson, there's nobody close. Best political writer in America. And, of course, does a great job hosting the Sunday Morning Spin, 7 a.m. every Sunday morning. Read them in the Chicago Tribune. Get the paper. Would it hurt? No, of course not. Get the paper. And read it online at chicagotribune.com. I'm a subscriber. I pay for it, Rick. Why shouldn't everybody else?
Absolutely. Good journalism comes if you got to pay for it, unfortunately. And we've been giving it away too long.
Got to pay the bills. Speaking of paying for it, why has Tony Preckwinkle stopped paying for TV commercials?
Yeah, I don't know a good explanation for that unless there's some money troubles in the campaign, which the campaign says that's not the case. They call it a strategic decision. I'm not sure exactly what the strategy is. Normally, let's face it, the initial election was February 26th. You're on the air that entire time until April 2nd, and to pull back on advertising is a very strange move, especially as it comes with Lightfoot seeming to gain some momentum, getting a number of endorsements, getting endorsements that could help her in areas that she hasn't campaigned on before, plus the fact Lightfoot now, since February 26th, when the runoff was launched, Lightfoot's now spent over $850,000 on TV ads. Preckwinkle, who was the presumed front runner, at least when it came to money, she spent about $500,000. And Lightfoot showing no signs of taking her foot off the pedal when it comes to TV ads.
By the way, off topic here for a second, we are completely socked in by fog in the last 10 minutes. It's bizarre. Fog has rolled into downtown Chicago, and we can barely see the Sheraton, which is about, 200 yards from here, and cannot see the river. So
that defeats the purpose of being on the 18th floor.
That's exactly right. All right, so what are people saying about this election? Are people expecting, because of the uniqueness of the candidates, that this will be a big turnout? Because, it certainly hasn't proven to be the case in the past.
Certainly, we saw last time in the runoff with the mayor and Chuy Garcia that voting increased significantly from the initial run to the runoff. And there's every expectation that's going to be the case here, particularly with the fact that you do have two African-American women running for that historic spot. You always get a decent turnout in the African-American community, but that turnout is expected to grow much greater. Tony Preckwinkle obviously trying to focus on South and West Side African-American voters as kind of a base, but still seems to be struggling somewhat. Lightfoot seems to be running kind of a longer campaign, not just isolated to the South and West Sides. She's getting support from what was always known as the Lakefront Liberals, getting endorsements now and from people on the Northwest Side. I think turnout will be stronger, and it is, other than those wards where there are runoff elections for aldermen, it's just an easy vote. It's a quick vote. Easy to cast because you don't have to, you're not going to spend much time in the polling place.
Right.
Difficult vote to figure out who you want to be the next mayor of the city.
So if Tony Preckwinkle has big union support, is that leadership of the unions, meaning the rank and file won't necessarily show up?
Well, there certainly was some question about that, particularly with members of the Chicago Teachers Union, that, yes, she had the CTU's endorsement, but did that necessarily translate to the rank and file? And I think, there was evidence that that wasn't always the case. Now, because we don't have a 14 candidates running, now when your choice is much more limited, it'll be curious to see whether that the CTU members kind of coalesce behind Tony Preckwinkle or not. And, to her part, Lightfoot has picked up some private union, private trade union support too on that side. So you've kind of got that contrast with the Service Employees International Union and CTU kind of being the big union drivers behind Tony Preckwinkle. And then you also have some of the trade union support going for Lori Lightfoot.
You know, Tony Preckwinkle's hammer with Lori Lightfoot is no experience, has never run anything. She's not wrong about that in the big picture. And this is a big job where you got to run a big company called the City of Chicago. How big a deal is it not to have that previous experience where you can draw on people to fill key positions?
Well, experience is a two-way street. And, you know, certainly there is the fact that Lightfoot hasn't been elected to anything. She says in her defense that on various agencies and that she served on in the city and procurement issues, that she has the chops to be able to handle the financial morass that exists in the city. And Preckwinkle, to her credit, points out some of the budget cutting that she has done as well as county board president. But with experience, there also comes the baggage. And so things like the fact that when she initially ran for county board president, she vowed to repeal the Strozier tax, the increase in the sales tax, which was repealed. But then she said that we have to put it back on. We need the money. And then flash forward to the infamous soda pop tax. That's where questions arise among voters about experience being good and bad. Also, throughout this runoff campaign, Preckwinkle has, frequently raised that experience line. Yet some voters in the African-American community say, she may have done some things to advance the cause of equality and when it comes to county government, when it comes to city government. But she, even Preckwinkle, acknowledged at one meeting in Operation Push that many of the problems that existed when she was alderman down the 4th Ward, many of those problems for impoverished communities still exist today. And some voters want rapid change. They want to know, well, how come nothing has changed since the time you were an alderman?
So does this momentum for Lori Lightfoot surprise people that it's turned and is going in this direction as hard as it is?
I think it has. And I think also, some people there, there's been various polling out there and of various dubious quality sometimes. But I think people are seeing the issue of a momentum that contrasts itself with a machine. And I think, remember Preckwinkle's, one of her commercials when they were up in the air was, she's a boss. And that attitude of the boss and the machine, the fact that she's Cook County Democratic chairman, that doesn't play very well among a certain batch of voters that are more progressive, that want to see things move more quickly. And there's also the fact, as being Cook County Democratic chairman, you had the fact that she was supporting Joe Berrios and the property tax system in the city, that property taxes are only getting worse, and the questions of fairness and equity and how the property tax system seemed to fall on those who were least able to pay.
Rick, do you think that after the election, this is a national story because it's historic and that we have the two African-American females that are in this runoff. Will the attention stay after we actually get one mayor? Do you think the nation's going to watch continually to see how this job goes, or are they going to lose interest once we get it?
I think there'll be continual interest. Mayor of Chicago is a big deal, and it's a big national story. And the fact Chicago is a global city, and the fact that Chicago has myriad financial problems, and I think, for better or for worse, that's what's going to keep us in the spotlight is, quite frankly, the fate of our finances and how are we able to try to navigate through this. I mean, it's not just big headlines like, you know, expanding O'Hare Airport that everybody around the country knows, those kinds of things. It's really going to be kind of more of the nuts and bolts about, you know, here is this new mayor. How are they able to accomplish what they need to accomplish? Preckwinkle says the fact that, you know, as being a former alderman running the county board, that experience is, you know, hands-on and is day one kind of experience. Lightfoot, you know, she's been in city government. The fact that she's also, you know, a recognized attorney isn't viewed as somebody that's necessarily coming in totally blind to what confronts the city. That's going to be the things to watch for as far as if Preckwinkle wins, you know, how is she able to kind of massage things through the city council that's going to have some upheaval to it after the runoffs versus Lightfoot, who necessarily hasn't really worked the system of working through and with the city council.
Anything new in the aldermanic stuff in regards to, I don't know, someone wearing a wire today or someone else being invited?
No, but I will tell you, you know, when you talk about turnout, certainly one factor is going to be that when you look at these more than a dozen aldermanic runoffs, there's going to be more intensive voting in those wards, too, which is also going to help drive up turnout, drive up the anticipated vote for April 2nd.
It's Rick Pearson. What are you doing Sunday?
Well, I've got Lori Lightfoot scheduled to be on the show on Sunday morning at 7:30 to kick things off. And then for the remainder of the show, we're going to talk to both a Democratic state senator and a Republican state representative to talk about what's going on in Springfield, which, you know, there's things moving down in Springfield that are getting overshadowed by the mayoral contest. And we're going to try to catch up with what's going on in Springfield.
It's my friend Rick Pearson and the Chicago Tribune and ChicagoTribune.com. Thank you, buddy.
Hey, thanks, Steve.
And we'll hear him Sunday morning, 7 a.m. on the Sunday Spin. Follow him on social media at Rap30, his rap name, R-A-P, at Rap30.